Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according to he has promised, that ye shall keep this service. It shall come to pass when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped, and the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. Such is the reading of Exodus 12, verses 21 through 28. Questions that are asked in the Bible often form the basis of many sobering spiritual thoughts. Such is the case with the question asked in verse 26, What mean ye by this service? Now the background of this question was that Israel was in Egyptian bondage and was about to be delivered. God had given them certain instructions concerning their departure and the eating of the first Passover supper. Among the instructions given was the command to observe this supper annually. God foresaw the time when this question would be raised by their descendants relative to keeping the Passover feast. Each generation would need to know the meaning of that solemn observance. People today need to know and have a right to know why Christians do the things that they do in worship to God. The young must be taught and impressed with the significance of everything concerning Christianity. There are acts of worship performed by Christians which we must respect and understand. Well, what did the Passover feast signify? It recalled the time when God would pass through the land of Egypt to smite the wicked Egyptians with the plague of the death of their firstborn and provoke them to let Israel leave the land. But God provided that the Israelites be spared. They would have put the blood of a lamb on a doorpost and lintels and said, When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This Passover supper was to be a memorial to their deliverance. It was to commemorate and keep alive in their minds that which God had done on their behalf. It was a silent, ritualistic reminder of that event. And it was to be observed because they did remember, and also for the purpose of keeping it in their memory. It looked backward to the event, and it looked forward as well. Now, this Passover supper was given only to the Jews, not to all people. Gentiles were never taught to observe the Passover. Even the Jews are not commanded to observe it anymore, since the law of Moses has been taken out of the way and the perfect law of liberty is now in place. But like the observance of the Sabbath day, instrumental music, animal sacrifices, and other such things that are characteristic of the Mosaic law, these things are no longer a part of the worship unto God. But they served a purpose for the Jews as long as the law was still binding upon them. Now God has provided a memorial in Christian worship that Christians are to observe. It is an outward ritualistic observance. It is relative to the greatest and most significant sacrifice that has ever been made. It is the Lord's Supper, and it is connected with Jesus Christ. What mean ye by this service? What means the eating of the bread and the drinking of the fruit of the vine? It is not to be confused with the Jewish Passover. It is not the Christian Passover, even though there be some similarities between the two. Except for the fact that the Lord's Supper was instituted at the last Passover Supper, and that Christ is called our Passover because he was sacrificed as was the sacrificial lamb, there is the likeness between them only in that they both are memorials. The Lord's Supper is a memorial to Christ, with emphasis upon his death, burial, and resurrection. Paul wrote, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it, and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." 1 Corinthians 11:23 through 29. And again we read, "And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom." Matthew 26:26-29. We show Christ in the Lord's Supper. It is a proclamation of Christ in everything concerning him. And to refuse to observe the Lord's Supper is to refuse to show and proclaim Christ. And many evidently do not realize the serious neglect by their failure to observe this memorial. One preaches Christ, his pre-incarnate state, his birth, his life, his works, his death, burial, and resurrection, as well as his ascension and his promise to return. Just as the tomb of the unknown soldier in Washington, D.C. is a memorial to those who have died in the wars of our nation, the Lord's Supper is a memorial to the one who has died for the sins of the whole world. The Lord's Supper also sets forth a new covenant of Christ. "After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye, as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me." Now man today serves God through Christ. We do not live subject to the covenant which God made with Israel through Moses. The prophet Jeremiah prophesied the coming of a new covenant, Jeremiah 31:31. And the writer of Hebrews identified this new covenant as the covenant through Christ, Hebrews 8:8. The first covenant was faulty in that it could not take away sins, Hebrews 10:4. Jesus is the mediator of this new covenant, Hebrews 8:6. The Lord's Supper sends forth the message that the new covenant has already been established, and Jesus is the one through whom God gave it. People now come to God through Christ. This the Lord's Supper announces. We eat the Lord's Supper because we remember his sacrifice for us. We honor and respect him for that. He died in our stead. We also eat the supper to continually keep before our minds what he has done and make it foremost in our thinking. The manner and attitude with which we partake of the Lord's Supper is of great significance. We are warned not to partake of it unworthily. Now this word is an adverb telling how we are not to partake of it. It has nothing to do with our own worth or worthiness of partaking of the supper. But a flippant, thoughtless, irreverent, light approach to the Lord's Supper is most unbecoming to a Christian. Whispering and laughing, and appearing to be far removed from the thoughts of that event on Calvary, is to bring damnation upon ourselves. Reverence and respect, seriousness and soberness must be involved in observing the Lord's Supper. And should we speak for hours, friend, we could not overemphasize the importance and the necessity of meeting around the Lord's table. To observe the Lord's Supper is as much a command from God as being baptized. Jesus said, "This do." Paul taught the necessity of the supper because it was received of him from the Lord. And try as hard as we might, we cannot uncover reasons why those who profess to be Christians, who claim to be faithful to Christ, will deliberately, willfully, habitually absent themselves from that sacred observance. Hebrews 10:25 teaches we're not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together, and yet there are those that pay no more attention to God than if he had never spoken. It is a mark of gross disrespect for God to not be present at the observance of the Lord's Supper. Now, the Bible teaches the Lord's Supper is to be observed on the first day of the week. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, "as oft," that's the designated time. Well, how oft? Acts 2:42 answers, "steadfastly." This is to be done steadfastly, and that demands some regularity and consistency. Well, how regular? Well, in 1 Corinthians 11, it shows that the Corinthians ate the supper when they assembled. And they assembled on the first day of the week, 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Acts 20:7 is the record of the brethren in Troas meeting on the first day of the week for the purpose of breaking bread, which refers to the Lord's Supper. We are aware that many observe it at different times. Some observe it annually, semi-annually, quarterly, monthly. Some have it any occasion they see fit. But when we are governed by that which God's Word authorizes, we will observe the Lord's Supper on the first day of every week and no other day. And every week has a first day. If we seek New Testament Christianity, we will allow our observance to be determined by what the early church did and what the Word of God tells us, which is our guide. The early church was commanded to meet on the first day. They ate the Lord's Supper on the first day. Even though relatively little is said about the time of observance, enough is revealed for us to know. Men who would set one first day above others are making laws where God has not made them. To observe every first day of the week is making no man-made law. It is observing a law that God has made. And we ought not call the Lord's Supper what it is not called in Scripture. And it's never called the Christian Passover. It's not called a Eucharist or a sacrament. It's not called the sacrifice of Christ, a mass, or any other such thing. We should speak as the oracles of God, and when we do, we'll refer to the Lord's Supper, to the Lord's table, to the communion, to the breaking of bread. Now, the physical ingredients used in this observance are unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. Unleavened bread was what was used in observing the Passover feast. And Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper at the last Passover feast. The fruit of the vine is wine, but this does not mean fermented wine. The word wine can refer to either that which is fermented or unfermented. And inasmuch as the bread used was to have no spoiling, it is consistent to think that such would be true of the cup that was used as well. It is called the fruit of the vine. That does not indicate fermented wine. The bread is symbolic of the Lord's body, and the fruit of the vine symbolized his blood. Now, there is no change in these physical ingredients to the literal flesh and blood of Christ. After Jesus had blessed these things, he still called them fruit of the vine, They symbolize the literal flesh and blood of Jesus. The flesh and blood of Jesus Christ was very much intact even after he gave these physical ingredients to the disciples. Remember, this is not the Lord, but a memorial to the Lord. The Lord's Supper is not a perpetual sacrifice of Christ, as the Catholic Mass contends. Jesus was sacrificed once, Hebrews 7:27, Hebrews 9:26. The Mass may well be a perpetual sacrifice of Christ by man, crucifying him again, but that is not the Lord's doing. The Lord's Supper is to be observed by Christians. It is inconsistent for one who rejects the sacrifice of Christ to be observing a memorial to it. Nor is there such a thing as a closed communion excluding certain Christians. This is a false denominational practice of some. The table of the Lord is not our table. Indeed, we must examine ourselves as we partake. But we're not told to examine one another to determine who can and cannot observe the Lord's Supper. We're brothers in the Lord. We each one are guests. We're gathered there to praise His name. What mean ye by this service? Just what the Scripture teaches. A proclamation of Christ. A memorial to Him. An act of adoration and reverent worship. This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.